Father, I thank you, Lord, that you brought us here for such a time as this. It's a little humor, and it's your presence, really, that brings us here. And we just pray, Lord, that we would have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would be saying to us today. And I just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. I truly believe, being around the church for 50-something years, I believe that the church, the general church, is in need of a reset. You see, there are some areas of the church that are just not functioning, and I'm talking about the church as a whole, that are not functioning the way they are meant to function. They're not doing what God has called them to do. They're not fulfilling their intended purpose. And it's good that we learn what that is today. And let me ask you a question. How many have had to reset something in their lives, like a computer or a cell phone or maybe a cable box or a breaker? And what do you think causes that to go out, or what causes us to have to reset that? It would basically be because the device that we need to it's not working the way it should. It's either too slow, it's locked up, but it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. Now, in a computer or data transmission system, you know, we call it reset or reboot. And what it does is clears any errors and brings the system back to the way it should be in a normal condition, or it's an initial state. And it functions the way it was created to function. So what's happening in the church in general today that needs a reset? In order for it to function the way God wants it to function, in order for it to accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. Now, some of us have our own thoughts about that, but let's see what the Scripture says, beginning with Isaiah 55, verse 8. He said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." See, often the church is really wanting to move forward in doing things and what's fresh, you know, so they might pump in the smell of coffee into the sanctuary. They might have these big screens where and words, "Jesus is the bomb," and, you know, we got to get modern in what we're doing. And do you know that at the end of this service, someone here could win a set of ear parts? But I mean, a lot of churches are going in that direction. They want to make the church cool. They want to make it lit, as they say in these days. They're trying to appeal to this younger generation. However, seeking something new and what's the latest and the greatest isn't necessarily the right way to go. Having a better show is good entertainment, but it does nothing in the way of saving souls, salvation. See, we have preachers that can they tickle your ears? Saying a lot of stuff, but they're not really saying anything. They can stir up emotions, make people feel so good and but when it comes to giving the unadulterated word of God, it's nowhere to be found. They have these marketing strategies. I always get people contact, "Hey, I got the greatest marketing strategy for your church," and so on and so forth. I mean, they want churches to rival the Fortune 500 type companies. Although they seem to be prospering in some of these mega churches, trying to be trendy. But do you know that over 70% of people, young people, would rather be in a sanctuary than in an auditorium? Many churches today are plagued by the stigma of not being authentic because their marketing of Jesus and asking Jesus to bless and bless and bless instead of following Jesus and blessing what he's doing. They're asking him to come in and do their lives. People are looking and they're searching for truth, not a bunch of superfluous fluff. They don't need that hot air stuff. People can be entertained anywhere they go, but when it comes to church, people need to be transformed, revived, regenerated, healed, delivered, set free. They don't need to be pumped up and prodded and all that. They don't need to be falsely, go, let's get excited about Jesus. But they need to be led into worship just as we were today. And dealing with people's heartaches and brokenness and disappointments and strife and stress and uncertainty of what's going on all around us. We don't need to restructure and repack and make what's the latest and greatest thing we could do to appeal to people and so on and so forth. We need to go back to the old paths. We need to practice what they did when the church was originally formed. We need to walk in the old paths. See, sometimes reaching back will get us to go forward. We can stay relevant by not trying to reinvent the Bible and the gospel to make it fit our modern society. Scripture tells us to seek for the old paths. It's when we seek for the old paths and what the Bible has told us how we move forward, we will have power, we will have authority, we will have the unction of the Holy Spirit as the one guiding us, not some Fortune 500 marketing company. Jeremiah 6:16 puts it very clear for us. It says, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. I believe the church in general is at the crossroad. They're at a crossroad. What direction are we going to go in? Who are we trying to appeal to? What is God calling us to do? We're at a crossroads. And then he goes on to say, ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And there you will find rest for your souls. But you say you won't walk in it. Now, I don't know who's he talking to, but what say you? What say us? Are we willing to walk in the path that God has set before us? You know, this day and what we're facing as a church has demands, and the demands are that we operate in those ancient paths. See, the same power in the Old and New Testament is needed in our lives today. It's amazing how society has the audacity to try and tell us the Word of God is outdated. It's irrelevant. It's subject to interpretation. They say, we don't need your church. We don't need your Jesus. They believe when we die, when they die, it's all over. And that's straight from the depths of hell. We, the church, the people of the living God, need to get back to the mindset of our forefather, of our elders. In Psalm 33:8, it says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. How does the world get to stand in awe of him? Because they will see him in us. And are we projecting a false Jesus, a false gospel, a lit Jesus, or are we presenting the true gospel and the true Jesus? You know, so many times people are praying for revival. We need a great revival. In fact, I'm part of a pastor's group every Tuesday night, praying for revival, praying for this great revival. However, the only real revival the world will see at first is when they look at believers' lives change. When we present the gospel in living color, and I mean all different colors, as people whose lives have changed. It's interesting, I was talking to one of our worship guys, and he said, I used to, and I'm not going to say which one, because we all have a past, right? He used to wake up in 2 or 3 in the morning, take some LSD, and watch the sun come up. And I said, you know what? I did something like that too. I used to do these drugs. We all have a past. But when people look at our lives today as where we came from, the pit of hell, that God has put treasure in earthen vessels, then revival will start to happen. People will be revived. But revival really means it's like a wake-up call. That which was dormant, that which was not doing or moving, that which was asleep. I see revival is reviving the church back to its old roots, to its path that God has us on. We seek desires of great moves of God, but where do they come from? It's not from the latest and greatest. We'll see revival happen in our midst, and the world will stand in awe of him. But we need to do it the way God has laid it out to be done and what's on his heart. And his heart has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we look at the ancient paths that he wants us to go down. And one of those is just having a demonstration in the power of the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2, 4-5 says this, and my speech and my preaching was not enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We need to ask God, come down, Holy Spirit. Fill us, Holy Spirit. Manifest yourself, Holy Spirit. We need to live a holy and Spirit-filled life. That's what God is calling us to do. And we can't do it by man's wisdom, by man's marketing. We can only do it when we're led by the Holy Spirit. Another path that he wants us to go down is out of the Gospel of Mark, an ancient path back then, Mark 16:15. He said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's a path I want you to go down to every creature. We don't tell the people what they want to hear. We tell them what God wants them to hear, the unadulterated truth of the Word of God. We need to stop telling people that God wants to make them happy, that God wants to fill them and give them all the best of life now. He wants to make them rich, and he'll give them a new car, and so on and so forth. We got to stop telling people those things, and we got to tell them the truth. And what is the truth? John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that doesn't believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's a path we need to go on. We can't be tickling people's ears. John knew what he was saying. And even in the book of Acts, he says, walk this path. Acts 2:38, then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is what's going to get people to the place that God wants them to be. Not what's new, what's the new way of doing things. In fact, Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Forget about the latest and greatest, and let's get back to what's on the heart of God. Let's get back to what God says, how we are meant to live this life and to live it out. Galatians 1:9 tells us, if anybody, I guess that means anybody, is preaching you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let them be accursed. There's so many false gospels, but you know what? God is not being mocked. It's amazing how he's exposing all these things. I'm watching stuff and people that I used to think, oh man, they got it. So, oh man, they're preaching false gospels for their own gain, so many. And what we want to do is be part of a group, a remnant that speak the truth of God. What does that mean practically for us as a church, what God wants us to do? Well, again, I believe God has us in the midst of a reset, so to speak, a return to the ancient paths, a return to really the heart of God. In fact, I called this message Reigniting the Heart of God. It's a path that leads to the heart of what God is all about in saving the lost, in ministering to the poor, the needy, those that are struggling in life and so on. You know, before we started this church, and some of you know the story, we went to New York and we met with Dave Wilkerson's ministry. Some of you know Nikki Cruz, Dave Wilkerson. And one of the things that took place when we were there, we were driving around my wife and I and our team stopped at a deli to use the bathroom, went inside. And the guy behind the counter said to us, he said, hey, what are you guys doing here? We're in New York. And my wife said, well, my husband's a pastor. And you know what he said? He said, that's a good business, isn't it? Because that's how the world sees it. Turn on some things and see all the glitz and glamour and the planes and the man. It's like, are you kidding me? But what she said to him was, well, that might be for some, but we have a heart for the hurting, poor, needy, struggling, single parents, and so on. That's our heart. And what happened was the guy went behind the counter and said, now that's something I can get behind. All of a sudden, his countenance changed. And he gave us all this gourmet food. And I walked out of they're all thinking, I went to the bathroom, they're sitting in the car, and I walk out with all this food, a loaf of bread so fresh it draped over my shoulder. And I said, God just spoke to us. And he said, if we do what's on his heart, he will treat us gourmet style. Well, let me just say this, that at that time we were meeting in a little storefront on Colfax that someone lent us next to the S&M shop, the tattoo parlor, and the gay bar, right there. And we'd meet. Whoever believed when we started out there that we would ever end up in a place like this? Because as long as we keep doing what's on his heart, because we didn't have the money, we didn't have the resources for any of this. He said, do what's on my heart. Go down the path that I have for you. And I believe God is telling that because it's easy to get caught up in things and then you forget about doing the things that you first did and the desires of our own lives and trying to meet bills and all this. And all of a sudden, things begin to drift away. We get caught up in the cares of this world. See, the church in general has to have a reset with the understanding that the church doesn't exist for our own comfort, how it can make us feel, and so on. Jesus said, we are the light of the world. We need to bring light to the world. It's not about us. He's already given us everything we could ever want and hope for. So we need to understand that. We are called to reflect the heart of God to those who are hurting and lost and forsaken, broken, in need. In fact, Mark chapter 2, verse 17, Jesus said this. He said, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they're sinners, those who know their need of God. That's who he came for. Those are his words. Now, I want to be able to look at some more of those ancient paths, and I want to kind of focus on two of those paths that I believe God has for us here at Church in the City. One of those paths that we're going down is a path where God's heart for justice, God's heart for justice. One of the founding scriptures of this church has been Isaiah 58. And God is speaking to his people about true worship. He tells them that the kind of worship he desires isn't just about giving us the goosebumps or some outward appearance and so on and so forth, but it's about a heart that cares for others. It's about a heart that cares for the oppressed. It's about a heart that cares for the marginalized. In Isaiah 58, verse 6 and 7, he says this, "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry, and provide the poor wanderer with shelter, and when you see the naked, to clothe them, and not turn away from your own flesh and blood?" Here God tells us true worship, true fasting, are not about some religious rituals we go through. They are about justice for people, setting the oppressed free, sharing some food, providing some shelter, clothing those that are naked. God's heart for justice is clear. He wants his people to act with compassion and mercy. These are the acts that align with his will. We got to make sure that we're doing what's on his heart, not what we've been told, and this is how you do it. You give your money to this ministry and they'll come back and you'll be rich and all that sort of thing. What is his will? What is that path that he's always wants us on that goes back from the very beginning? See, these kind of actions reveal the heart of God in us. Is the heart of God really in us? You know, as a church here in the city, we're called to be on a similar mission to that. There are many communities around us that they're hurting people, they're hungry people, they're homeless people, they're spiritually lost people. And God is not pleased if it's just all about us. If we neglect the needs while focusing on just us, I believe our calling is to be a beacon of hope and compassion, to share God's love with those who need it most. Can someone say amen to that? And the reason why I know that and why I was confirmed to know that, I'm going to show you, some of you might know this. In 2016, we had a gentleman come and visit our Shabbat service, our Saturday service, and he said, "I'm a prophetic painter, and what I want to do is paint a picture while your service is going on of what God is telling me about who you are. I don't know anything about your church or anything like that, but let me paint a picture of what I believe God is saying to me." And you know, it's amazing that he painted this picture within an hour and a half service, or close to 2 hours. And this is what, some of you know this, but this is what the picture looked like. And basically he said, "Your church is a beacon of hope in the city, where those who are going through life and having issues and struggles, they now have a place to come to get whole and made well and go out and reach others in that same way." He came up with this, as I said, in about 2 hours. And he didn't know anything about us as well. So when I say that we are a beacon of hope, God just confirmed it to us with this painting. Amen. So I don't make these things up. I couldn't have made this up if I tried. So God confirmed to be on the path that he wants us to be on. Amen. I want to talk about another path. And it's a path of compassion. God wants us to be compassionate people. Take our eyes off of ourselves. Amen. Jesus in Matthew, verse 25, beginning with verse 25 and chapter 25, verse 35 and 36. He speaks of the final judgment, and he separates the righteous from the unrighteous. But notice how he identifies those who are righteous and those who are not righteous, those who are the sheep and those who are the goats. Matthew 25, 35 through 36. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And in verse 39, he says, when did the righteous ask him, hey, Lord, when did we do these things? He replied, he said, truly, I tell you, whatever you do for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did to me. That's the heart of Jesus. I don't know where these other places are going or what they're doing or what they're saying, but we need to get in touch with what separates us from being a sheep or a goat, or who's in and who's out. It's the heart of Jesus. He identifies with hurting people. He identifies with the poor and the needy and the marginalized and the lost. He says that when we serve those in need, we're serving him. What an amazing opportunity to serve and minister to Jesus himself by doing what's on his heart. Our acts of compassion are not just doing good things and being kind to people and so on. They're acts of worship toward with God himself. And we need to understand that. It's a powerful reminder that when we serve people like that, the poor, the hungry, the sick, whether it's stranger, that in prison, and we are embodying the love of Christ that's in and bringing it to the world. It's not just about gathering on Sunday. This is great because we get to worship together. We get to impart together. We get to hear the word together. But it's for a purpose. Even as Simon said yesterday, when you leave here, you're in the mission. You walk through those doors, you're in a mission. You're in a calling that God has for us. It's about serving Jesus, serving others. Our compassion for the lost, the broken, and those struggling and hurting and so on is the heart of God in us. And he's igniting that. This basically is really, some of you know this stuff already, but it's really a call to action. Again, it's time for us to reignite that in a way that we had before. I mean, it was amazing what was going on. We're still doing stuff, but he's taking us to another level of what he wants us to do. You know, sometimes you get distracted and pulled away, like I said, in other things, but now is a time to refocus. God is calling a reset. It's not like, some churches, I met a guy when we first started across the street. He came to me, he said, I know your ministry, you care for poor people and needy people. He says, but my ministry is to the suits. And I go, what is that? Well, to the rich and to those that are, And I said, obviously, yeah, they need Jesus too, and so on and so forth. But you know, just show me that in the scripture suits. I don't see that. But obviously they all need it. But it's like, I don't believe it's just church and the city is called to this and others are called. We're all called to it. This is God's word for the whole church in general. And I believe the whole church needs a reset on that. It's interesting how all the resources are out. It's out in the burbs and all the needs are in the city. And it's kind of crazy the way things have come out. But we all need to be together in this. And this is a call to action. Some of us is just a reminder. Some of us it's just it may be an encouragement or whatever. You know, see, in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, God's desire is for his people to reflect his heart, a heart of justice, a heart of mercy, a heart of compassion. That's God's heart. It's not enough to just talk about it. We need to live it. We need to live it out. We must be the hands and feet of Jesus. That's who he's called us to be. And we've been doing that for many years, but I really believe that God is taking us to another level of that. And not only that, what he's been doing, even with these past couple of events that we had, one in January and one in March, we've gotten to see a taste of what's on his heart. We've gotten to see a taste of what he would have us do and what he would have us serve and who he would have us reach out to. And I believe it's just the beginning of what he's called us to do. You know, many lives came to know the Lord and recommit their lives to the Lord at these events. People were set free from addictions. Over 100 people were baptized. Sounds a little like revival. Instead of praying for, which we need to continue to do, let's get involved and get down that path that got what God wants. They're all Holy Spirit-led events. They're not man-made events with some superstar guy standing up here. And no, it's the Holy Spirit that stood up here and ministered and drew people to himself. Amen? And not only that, What an amazing thing that took place here was that others that came who had the same heart, who were ignited by God, who were doing the things around God's heart and recognized our vision and who we were, they said, we want to come and be part of that. We want to join together. We want to unite our hearts with those that have a heart for God. And we believe God is going to ignite that. You know, we're seeing that. You know, it's interesting, we already have a jail and prison ministry with Colette and Tom and others doing great things, but then another prison ministry that was here that's reaching all these different prisons. Paul Gonzalez in Open Gate says, you know what, we want to come alongside. We want to partner with someone that has the same heart in us as well. Even though we're involved with Rescue America and doing ministry to women that are being trafficked, another gentleman called, said, you know, I want to align with you. I've got a house on Colfax and I'm taking women off the streets and we want to partner with church in the city in doing that. You know, we've got things that are happening, addiction ministries that came and were part of it and said, we know your heart for the things that are on God's heart. And we want to partner with you and come alongside as well. This is all happening organically. We weren't asking anyone, right? We weren't asking anyone to be part of it. People from the Dream Center, people from motorcycle clubs and so on, want to be involved in what God is doing. You guys are involved in a movement of God. You have to know that. We even have prayer groups that are coming. Hey, we're a group that wants to do Denver Civic Prayer and pray for our city and pray for the state and so on. And by the way, we'll be starting that shortly here. We want you to just come and we want to be part of what you're doing. We want to have that prayer here. I got another call from an international prayer conference called Awake America. And they said, we're going to be having people coming in May from all over the country to pray, to awaken America, to Jesus and so on. And we want to have that time in your church. So we're hosting people coming from all over the country. Because they recognize it's not anyone, and no one even knows who I am or anyone else. It's recognizing we see God in that place. And we want to be part of what God's doing. And that's what we have to understand. When people see what God is doing, they want to be drawn to that. Another children's ministry, very large children's ministry, wants to come alongside and help children in our city here and help the poor and the needy children as well. And they want to have camps where they're teaching children how to pray for the sick and pray for the needy and set people free. They're coming here this summer to do that as well. They see what God is doing in that church, and it's all to God be the glory. Starting in May, we'll be taking tents out to local communities here and sharing the love of God and the compassion of God to people that nobody else wants. They can't put a lot of money in the coffers, but we're ministering to Jesus when we go to these people. So just understand, we're just on what God is doing now, and I want to encourage you that God is on the move, and we're part of that movement. And the movement is very dear to the heart of God, and we have to understand that. You know, this is an all hands on deck. This is for all of us that God is calling. It's just amazing. God is calling different people from different walks of life and saying, it's time. You know, I talked to Jeff about the movie Braveheart. How many know the movie Braveheart? And do you remember the scene where they're all lined up and the enemy's coming and he's going, hold? Hold, don't do anything yet, hold. And then he finally says, let's go for it. And I believe that's what God's saying. Now you've been holding, let's go for it. So we're gonna bring it all together. We're gonna bring all these people and all these ministries and all of us together, and we're gonna go for it. And God is gonna be glorified in it. And if you wanna see revival, you're gonna see revival happening there. Let me finish up with this. God's heart has always been for the poor, the needy, and the lost. I mean, he loves everyone. I understand that totally and so on. But his call to us is clear. We must not only care for our own spiritual needs, but we need to care for the spiritual needs of others. We must meet their physical and emotionally. We must serve others. We reflect the heart of God when we reach the lost, when we reach the broken, when we show the love of Jesus. Yeah, we're going to continue. We're doing discipleship classes. We're going to be beginning our fresh start again here. And we're going to be doing in the leadership training in the future, near future, starting small groups. Yeah, we want to be able to do inreach and really continue to grow in ourselves. But it's for a purpose. It's to be about God's business. It's not just to focus on our own comforts and our own growth, but we need to do that. And know the mission that God has given the church to go back to those ancient paths of doing what's on the heart of God. He's renewing our passion to serve others, that we are, again, the hands and feet of the Lord to those around us. And when we do that, we're honoring God and we're fulfilling his purpose, and it pleases him. And he will meet our needs and he will take care of us, because I've seen it for the past 30-something years. As long as we do what's on his heart, he will take care of us and he will provide for us. I believe, and I'm going to end with this, ask our worship team to come on up here. I believe God is asking us the same question that he asked Isaiah way back in Isaiah 6:8, and it says this: I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? God is asking, who will go and do what's on his heart as a servant? Who will share his words of hope and encouragement and healing and love to this world? Who will go? Then Isaiah said, here I am, send me. And I believe, I can't think of any words more powerful than those words to describe a true servant of God. Here I am, Lord. Use me, send me, spend me for whatever you desire. And when we think about that, God doesn't need the masses of believers, because so many will just want to do their own thing and live for them, whatever, and I'm not judging them. But I do believe he is looking for a remnant of people that will say, here I am, God. Send me, use me, and spend me. And if God, you're hearing what God is asking you, if you are willing to respond to what he's asking you, would you stand with me now? And I want you to think, make sure you know what that means. Because we want to ask God just to reignite our hearts for what's on his heart. May his heart become our heart. And he will ignite our heart. And may his love flow through us to this world around us that is so hurting. May his love, his compassion, his mercy be in us and then flow through us. Father, I pray right now for everyone here. Lord, you know what that means. And Lord, we know this is a igniting type of message, but we want to make sure that we're all in what you want us to do, Lord. And we're going to give opportunity. We're going to give place. We're going to give training. We're going to equip those who are saying, here I am, send me. And we're going to send you in the place where we believe and you believe God is calling you to be. We want to make it a good fit for you. But right now, we're laying down the foundation. We're laying down the heart. We're letting you know what you're into, what's going on here, and what God is calling us to do. We want to be a beacon of light. We want to be a place where others can come together who have the same hearts and are doing the same things, and we collaborate. We come as one. We encourage one another. Outside ministries coming under the covering of the local church to go out and do the things God has put on their hearts. In reach, growing in the Lord as we go about outreaching for the Lord. Lord, we just thank you for your faithfulness. Now let the Holy Spirit just come. Just let him confirm that. Just let him reveal that to you. Let whatever flicker or whatever let it begin to burn in your heart. This is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Just fill us, Lord. Fill us, Lord. This ain't about some superstar. This is about the Holy Spirit getting all the glory, getting all the honor, letting his kingdom come and his will be done. Just let the Spirit of God just fall upon us. This is a new beginning from an ancient past that we've been on, and now the stakes are a lot higher. We're getting a lot closer to his return, and we need to be about our Father's business and what's on his heart. So Father, we thank you for reminding us what's on your heart. We ask you to forgive us, Lord, for the times we've neglected those in need and focus too much on ourselves. Lord, as you are reigniting in us a passion to serve and to love as you have called us to do, and give us eyes to see. Give us those divine appointments. Give us eyes to see the hurting around us, the ears to hear the cries and of people's hearts. And give us the courage to be ready to just serve them. And may we reflect your love and compassion in everything we do, Lord. And I pray this in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus. And with the words of God back in Numbers chapter 6. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance, turn his face directly toward you, and thus give you his peace as he blesses his sons and his daughters. And the words in the Hebrew Old Testament, Yivarechecha Adonai Ve'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panav alecha vihunecha Yisa Adonai panav alecha V'yasam lecha shalom. Lord, thank you for your peace. Thank you for a heart that is reignited for the things that are on your heart, Lord God, and we just give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise that's due your name. And we pray these things in the name of the Holy One of Israel, Jesus, our Lord. And everyone said, amen. Amen.